Blog Talk Radio.
The Truth to Power show. I am Beverly, and we have Eddie Rodriguez with us tonight, and we are listening to the salsa, Afro-Cuban jazz, and rock. How are you doing, Eddie Rodriguez?
Thank you very much for inviting me again to your show, Beverly. I'm doing mighty fine here in the island of Puerto Rico, where we're having warnings for tropical depression coming through the Atlantic. Thank God I'm on the Caribbean side of the island. So I was actually on my way back to New Jersey at midnight tonight. And so I'm glad I'm able to be on with you tonight and share some of this great music from Cuba that has evolved today. And some of the artists that are gone and their music still lives, and I'm very, very happy to join you there in the Motor City. Just happy to be here tonight with you. Praise the Lord.
Well, thank you. And who are we going to be listening to tonight?
Tonight we're going to have the next set is going to be by the late Ralph Irizarry, the late percussionist, timbale player. It's like Tito Puente. As a matter of fact, Tito Puente was one of his mentors. And Ralph Irizarry used to play with a group called Ray Barreto. Ray Barreto was an incredible percussionist, a member of the Fania All-Stars. He was a conga player. And also Ralph Irizarry was a timbale player. And so those two instruments, you know, that's percussion. It's very, very important, you know, for the type of music that, you know, people were you know, consuming at that time and still today consuming salsa music. Ray Barretto used to have some great singers. One of his singers at one point was a gentleman by the name of Ruben Blades, who later became an actor. And Ruben is still touring today. You know, Ray Barretto, rest in peace. He had a nickname. They used to call him Mr. Hard Hands. He was very tall, and he had huge hands. And the first time I heard about Ray Barretto, I was it was in the 60s. I went to the New York World's Fair, and Ray Barretto was performing, not in the any Latin pavilion. He was performing at the in the African pavilion. Obviously, he drums, and the association with the conga drums, you know, throughout the years has always been an instrument that was has its roots in Africa, and ended up, you know, in the New World, and people like Ray Barretto were just great at creating music with the conga drums, and obviously people like Patato Valdez and so many others, and Ralph Rosario was a timbala player, which is like more just those two drums and the cowbell, you know, and the bells and, you know, different cymbals, you know, more like a drum in that part, you know, because you use sticks. But Ray Barretto and people like Patato Valdez, you know, they use their hands on skin. So we're going to hear from a great, you know, timbala player, Ralph Rosario, may he rest in peace. He's a wonderful friend, husband, father. As a matter of fact, he had an acting part in the movie The Mambo Kings. If you ever see The Mambo Kings again, the actor who played the butcher is Ralph Rosario. So his group, he created a group called Timba Laye. And I've been talking to you about Timba, T like in Tommy, I Irish, Iris, M Mary, B Barry, B Boy, A Adam, Timba. And that was music from Cuba that is originally from Cuba, evolving from the Cuban traditional son cubano, son montuno, and to what was created by S-O-B-O. V, like in Victor, A, Adam, and Nancy, repeated, Von, a gentleman, may he rest in peace, Juan Formel, created this group, and, you know, had violins and flutes and horns and great percussion. He was a bassist and had some great rhythms and some great background vocals. Choruses that were repetitive, and people would, you know, sing these choruses at the shows, and I got to experience that in Cuba myself once. Incredible. And Ralph took some of that sound and created his own kind of group in New York called Timba Laye, T-I-M-B-A-L-A-Y-E, Timba Laye. And we're going to hear some of his music tonight. So Ralph Rosario's music lives forever. And let's hear some music from my friend, the late great percussionist, Ralph Rosario.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
are listening to salsa, Afro-Cuban, jazz, and rock with Eddie Rodriguez.
Wow.
Eddie is in Puerto Rico. Yes.
Yeah.
High energy.
You know, the music we just heard was absolutely incredible. You know, the first two numbers, Vieques-y, and then Mojo Cubano. You know, we heard a lot of drumming there. That was Ralph Irizarry and his group Timbalaya. You know, he had some melodic, you know, compositions and filled them in with, you know, just a lot of great solos and, you know, a great arrangement. You know, one of the things that Ralph had was good arrangers. And when I listened to the track tonight, you know, all I can really see was this show when he did it live. I saw him do a live show, and, you know, I mean, the recordings are great, but, you know, we don't have Ralph here with us anymore. But when he was here, those live shows were just incredible. It was like you just wanted more. And, you know, so that's what Ralph gave to the world, that feeling, that music, that creativity. I was with him when he recorded his first album. I was in at the studio. I was with him from time to time when he was getting arrangements, getting compositions, working with people like Oscar Hernandez, who he had worked with on tour worldwide for years with the great Reuben Blades. And, you know, Ralph was just loved by everyone that knew him. He had a great personality and just so serious about his music. And you know, he felt it, and he made everyone around him feel it. So, you know, I'm honored to remember tonight a great musician, a great human being, someone that we can spotlight, put a spotlight on, and people could hear, you know, what he did while he was, you know, in this dimension. So, then the third track was a group from Puerto Rico. By the way, Ralph was from Puerto Rico. His family was from Ponce, Puerto Rico, which a lot of great people came from. Puerto Rican sports figures like Jose Chegui Torres, a boxing champion, welterweight champion of the world. May he rest in peace. But Chegui was also, I got to know Chegui, he was also a journalist. He was, you know, a great, great, great human being. He came from Ponce, a great singer by the name of Chill Feliciano, who really kicked off that entire movement with teenagers singing with a group by the name of Joe Cuba Sextet. And once again, you know, a wonderful singer, you know, an original member of the Fania All-Stars. When I mention the Fania All-Stars, I'm talking about the granddaddy of salsa music groups. This was the group that toured the world, promoted by a gentleman that I worked with for 30 years, Mr. Ralph Mercado, may he rest in peace. And he took the Fania All-Stars to Africa. I mean, he took them to Japan. It was amazing, you know, salsa music during that time, the 70s, the 60s, 60s and 70s, grew to the point that today what we're talking about is Cuban salsa, which is the evolution of a sound that was started in the 70s in Cuba called Songo by the group Iraquere, like I mentioned. And then in the 80s became more popular with a group called Von Von, like I mentioned earlier. And then Puerto Rico, we just heard a group by the name of Batacumbele that is very much influenced by that sound coming out of Cuba here in Puerto Rico, and created a group called Batacumbele. Eric Figueroa on piano, the late Cachete Maldonado on congas. I mean, it was just, from time to time, it just had so many great artists, Papo Vasquez, great trombonists, on, you know, on that date. Something that lives forever. So I'm glad you played Bata Cumbera. We have a lot more music of theirs coming along. But getting back to Ralph, we're gonna have some more music by Ralph Irizarry and Timbalaya later on during the show. Bata Cumbera, I'd like to just kind of focus on them for a minute because they played a music that was, or their style of the composition, the arrangement, was so close to what was banned in the United States by the Cuban exile community. It sounded too much Cuban. It was not going to see the light of day on commercial radio. As a result, because, you know, some people that went to Latin music, we had a different thing going on during the 70s and the 60s and the 80s, you know, even into the 90s, where you could go to a Latin record shop, you know, where they had all the Latin music. And you could ask the owner, they had work people that worked there as well for many, many years, but you could go in and say, hey, you know, what came in new? And they'd play you a little something and say, wow, oh man, that sounds great. And, you know, there were certain artists that came, you know, that had new releases and, you know, you wanted to get their new release and, you know, so, you know, it was a different vibe, you know. That's how we found out about this music. Otherwise, we would have never known about it because they were not going to play it on commercial radio. And the very few TV shows that they had that were Latin music on one television network, Spanish television network, in New York, I'm talking about, didn't play this kind of music. They went towards more like that Latin, Tito Puente sound and artists like Gio Feliciano and artists like that. But, I just wanted to, pay tribute to these groups because they're not around anymore. Bata Cumbera, who we just heard, you know, did their thing in the 80s. And, Ralph Irizarry, who we heard before that, he did his thing in the 90s. And like I said, his family was from Ponce, Puerto Rico. He was actually a he grew up in Brooklyn, lived in Brooklyn, and it's just wonderful to be with you tonight and listen to some of the things that he created as a producer and a musician. The last thing I'm going to say about Ralph during this set is that I remember when he recorded his first album. I was the president. I was the head of a label in New York called Tropi Jazz Universal. It was distributed by Universal Music. And I was the head of that label. And Ralph came to the office one day. We had an office on Prince Street in the whole Soho district of Lower Manhattan. And he gave me the tape and a cassette. And I went into my office and I listened to it and I loved it. And I said, Ralph, you know, what do you want to do? You know, I'm here. He said, well, you know, I want this, I want that. This is going to sell, you know, this is going to be a big hit. You know, this is going to sell a lot of CDs and, what can you offer, you know? So I went, you know, I had a direct, you know, to pick up the phone or go into the office of the president, the CEO of RMM Records, which was the owner of the label and the sub-labels, and told him, you know, about Ralph having this music and had a product that, you know, that I wanted to sign. And he didn't have any ifs, ands, or buts about it. He said, absolutely, Eddie, you want to sign it? You know, go ahead. You know, this is the budget. You know, I think he gave me like $11,000. So, you know, to buy it out. So, in other words, that master that he recorded would belong to the Tropi Jazz Records. And then Tropi Jazz would have the job of promoting it and marketing it and, you know, making sure that it got to the right places so that it can get, you know, maybe some jazz radio show stations that had a special hour or two for Latin music or college radio stations. But nothing commercial. You know, the jazz stations would not play it mostly at that time. I'm talking about this type of music. More jazz than you know, it's just a fusion of it's just drums and horns and, you know, a rhythm section.
Now,
so let me finish my story. So I said, well, you know, yeah, man, we want to sign you, you know, and this is the offer. And so I told him what was the offer, and he told me, no, this is going to sell, you know, going to be a big boom in sales, going to sell a lot. And, you know, I'm the same way. You know, if I have a product, I'm going to believe in it 100%, you know, what it's going to do and how it's going to perform commercially and in terms of sales, because this is a business. This is the Latin music business.
Right.
And it all depends on sales, and you have to pay money out in publishing, royalties, and performing rights societies, and, you know, there's a lot behind the just the music. And so Ralph at the time was so positive that he was going to be able to do a lot better than $11,000. And so he said, you know, he said no, he passed on the deal. What he didn't realize is that we were dealing with numbers. And we had great artists, Latin jazz artists like Tito Puente and Dave Valentin and Giovanni Hidalgo, Copy Jazz All Stars, and you know that music, that genre of music that we call Latin jazz, did not perform well, you know, commercially. When we put it out there with distributors to get it to all the record stores, and, since it wasn't getting played on the radio. You know, it was mostly, you know, the publicity and the promotion that we were able to do within that jazz or Latin jazz community, which was not big. So the sales numbers, we knew the sales numbers, you know. So, you know, $3,000, 3,000 units, you know, we could count on 3,000 units. Now, when you're selling wholesale as a record label, you know, even though people pay, you know, $10.99 or $9.99 for a CD, we would sell it or distribute it, you know, for a wholesale price of $5 per unit. And so the average amount of sales of a Latin jazz album was about 3,000 units that we could count on. You know, 3,000 units times $5, $15,000. We were offering him 11, but we were going to put publicity, promotions, marketing, tour, you know, getting him at the shows, booking him. He got to do his thing. You know, don't get me wrong. He got to perform. He had a great group. But I missed out on the opportunity to represent him for the label. And I think we would have had a blast. But, you know, once again, I have no idea how many units he ended up selling. But I could tell you from a factual standpoint, because I monitored all the other product that was out there, and they were performing as well as we were, you know, which was not into, you know, the tens of thousands of units that we were out there selling with salsa music, which is 50,000 units, 100,000 units, you know, 500,000 units. And those are the kind of numbers that were priority. So what I'm saying is that, you know, we had that one opportunity to work together closely, but as a friend, we remained friends throughout all the years, and I miss his laughter. And funny guy, he was a great guy. So rest in peace, Ralph Rosario. We're going to hear more music. His music will never die. His music is forever. And I'm honored to be on with you tonight. Thanks for inviting me, Beverly. You know, once again, another week. Well, you're allowing me to share some of my thoughts and some of the music that I have experienced, and even to today still experiencing in my career as a Latin music industry professional. So once again, thank you very much. And
thank you.
I had a question.
Yeah, so, you know, you say it wasn't getting played on the commercial radios and things like that. Now, was it because of the American Cubans that was over here, or was it something more than that, that the reason it wasn't getting played?
Well, you got to understand one thing, Beverly. When the revolution happened in Cuba, since the 40s, I mean, you know, Cuba was a paradise. It was a casinos, a Las Vegas, on a tropical island. And obviously, you know, we know that, you know, there was a lot of mobsters involved at that time. Meyer Lansky. Was one of them. There's a movie about that. That's very interesting. There was a president, at that time, a president of Cuba who accepted that kind of, industry, gambling, tourism, and people coming in and spending money. And there was money on the island, and with a lot of politicians, like everywhere else, they look after their family first. But, there was an industry, there was a radio industry, there was a television industry. I mean, even Desi Arnaz, when he came to Hollywood, instead of they were shooting with one camera on most of these shows, or two cameras, he came in and started shooting with two or three cameras or four cameras and editing those I Love Lucy shows. So Cuba had something that, as far as the media, Spanish media in particular, is concerned, and those same people were the ones that had the money, that when Fidel Castro declared that he was going to, there was going to be a new government, and the president had to get out of the island, and all these mobsters that were there and all these people that had money, all that money was going to be taken by Fidel Castro, because he would say, hey, he was creating a socialist government, so all the money was going to go to the people. That was his theory. Obviously later on we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. He was hooked up, very closely with Russia. But people left, and those people had the skills. And when they came to America, they hated anything that had to do with Fidel Castro. So, yes, it was the Cuban exile community censored any music, any artist coming out of Cuba. If you were in Miami in Cuba, it was okay. But if you were in Cuba, their theory was that money's going back to Fidel Castro to finance his army and put the people. Everybody was, that was successful in Cuba all of a sudden became poor. And had to depend on rations and things like that. And today, Cuba's in shambles after 63 years of Fidel Castro and now his brother, Raul Castro's government. So, yes, that community did it for the hate of Fidel Castro. That was the reason they censored music like this. But, right now, the new Cubans that have come in, Cubans that came in the 80s, Fidel Castro let a lot of Cubans come out on the 80s. If you want to go. And America accepted them. And, now they don't. Now you can't touch water, touch land, and become, seek asylum as a Cuban. They don't allow that anymore. But
So the Cubans can't come over here?
No.
Now they got the open border. Everybody else coming over here.
Wow. They're coming in that same way. So they're coming in by boat, in Key West, Florida. Or they get sent back, if they don't, they find out they were criminals, or they had any kind of record. But today, we have a different type of Cuban American, that is in power, so to speak. They still have the old guard, you know. But there's a newer train of thought in terms of creativity. And we're already exposed to this music in Cuba and here in the U.S. or consume it when they can. There's one group in Miami called Timba Live, L-I-V-E, Timba, T-I-M-B-A, Live, L-I-V-E. And so they're making some headway. I see that they're touring. And you see groups from Cuba once in a while. They call it cultural exchange. But not commercialized, you know, mostly college gigs, and maybe they'll do some performing arts centers and things like that. But, you know, as far as they'll do a Carnegie Hall like the Buena Vista Social Club did when they were touring, or Madison Square Garden, Philip Madison Square Garden, you know, 18,000 seats, you know, you have to have a following. In the U.S., and that comes from repetition and utterance of your name and your music being repeated, for 10, 12, 15 weeks, 8 times a day, 12 times a day
right.
on the radio.
Right.
You know, and so that's how it works, and these groups can never get there. They couldn't see the light of day. They wouldn't even play one time. And so, but now it's kind of, you see some Puerto Rican groups also taking that kind of style, the Cuban timba style. But Bata Cumbela was in the 80s. And they are a direct influence from Irakere and that group, the group called Los Van Van. And Irakere was the brainchild of pianist Chucho Valdez, ranger, composer, band leader, performing artist, recording artist too, and Los Van Van with Juan Formel. That was his baby. And so those groups were born in Cuba, and they were able to tour the world but not become popular in the United States.
Wow. All that good talent.
I'm telling you, it's all about creativity and music evolving, and but it's also about money. There were not, the investors were not there to put in a lot of money to promote and market and put up, have the budget to go on tour and put them in different venues and whatever they made, the promoter made, that's what they made. And today is totally different. You have to have a huge social media following, number one. You have to be on the Billboard charts. That's a must. And because or else you're destined to just do small clubs and club dates and festivals and things like that. But to command an audience, just with your name. In a huge sports arena or stadiums all over Latin America. Even in Latin America, it's just brewing. It just keeps brewing all these years gets better and better. And the good thing is that there's a dance attached to this music. Not what we just heard from Bata Cumbela, because that's, it's kind of more cultural. But timba, has a dance to it, and it's a great dance, totally different than salsa, the classic salsa that everybody knows today. Even Colombia has their own style of dance form for salsa. It's interesting how salsa has evolved, and so today I believe is the moment for new. Timba or Cuban salsa groups to make a name for themselves in the market, because people younger people are listening to it, even though it's old, it's been around for a long time. To them, it's new. It's not their parents' music. Classic salsa is their grandparents' music. Forget about their parents. Their parents are into reggaeton. But, they don't they don't consume it. They don't want to learn how to dance either. But people dance salsa all over the world, and there's festivals all over the world that include salsa artists. The groups that we just heard, Batacumbera and Timbalaya, they were more towards jazz festivals. A jazz festival appreciate all the talent buyers. They know their audience, and their audience appreciates art. And these groups,
right.
What they were doing was art, not something commercial. You heard the length. Even the length of the compositions was long. You know, nobody's going to play down the radio a composition that long, 4, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, you know, 3 minutes. I mean, even before that, rock and roll era was 2 minutes and something, and that was AM mm-hmm. radio. FM, excuse me, FM radio was a little bit more lenient, and you know, they didn't have as many advertisers, so they could stretch out a song, you know, 4 minutes or something. But today, they want songs to be 3 minutes, you know. If you're a salesperson or manager of a radio station, you know, you don't make money from playing music. You make money from the advertisers. And
right.
So you want more commercials than you want music. But if you have so many commercials, people will not listen to you. As a matter of fact, if people are not listening to radio as they were before, there's countries and there's companies that are just taking FM radio out of the system completely. There is no FM radio in a country like Norway. There's only digital radio. And so it's slowly happening here. It'll happen. More people will listen to and subscribe to Spotify, for instance, and than they do to a local radio station they only listen to while they're in their car driving from point A
right.
to point B.
And
so,
a lot of times you're not doing that because you connect your phone to the car. You know, people are just listening to their music list. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the music that you like. You program it. So, you know, that's the sense that the way the world is and media, especially radio, is evolving, and you know everything has to evolve. The only thing constant is change. You know, we have four seasons. That should be enough to let people know, hey, Mother Nature changes from season to season, and that's how creativity is, and that's how life is basically. So.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to get back into some more music by
Batacumbera
because I think people maybe we can get their feedback after this set. You can give them your number so in case anyone wants to make a comment or call in and have their own comments and thoughts about this type of music that we are playing tonight. It's called. The music is called, you know, it's evolved from timba music, so it's a fusion, and so it was never really given a name like timba. You know, it was created by Puerto Ricans, you know, Ralph Rosario and you know, Eric Figueroa and all the rest of the musicians that were on it, great musicians. So, you know, but it was the evolution, the creative part of the music business that you know, people like me get attracted to and were able to appreciate as art. So without any further ado, let's hear some more Batacumbera.
Okay. And the call-in number is 323-642-1586 and push number 1 if you have a comment or a question about the music. Here we go. Thank you.
Párense en todos, vamos a gozar. Saca tu pareja, vamos a bailar. Anda con el sabor, somos Puerto Rico, mamá.
Esta linda muchachita a la ciudad un día llegó,
alboroto de colores en la ciudad ella encontró. Y de moda su sexy cemento, la ibarita se enamoró. Y de moda su sexy cemento, la ibarita se enamoró. Sus raíces al campo no volvió.
de los comentarios, José. Vende los comentarios, José. Porque yo, aunque tú no lo creas, Juanjo, sigo siendo el más chévere. Vende los comentarios, José. Vende los comentarios, José. Porque yo, aunque tú no lo creas, Juanjo, sigo siendo el más chévere. Supe colarme en la finca de la verdad. Supe hacer buena música y calidad. Hoy tú te has dado cuenta de que es verdad. Siempre se abre paso, ya lo verás.
We'll be right back.
All right, all right, all right. We are listening to salsa, Afro, Cuban, jazz, and rock with Eddie Rodriguez.
Oh, Beverly, did you feel it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that you love the, you know, the drums and all what, the influence of Africa and Latin music. Latin music, when I say Afro-Cuban, you know, Afro-Cuban music and
now,
Afro-Cuban jazz.
I'm getting a feedback. Do you hear feedback?
No, I don't hear any feedback right now. Hello, Beverly?
Okay.
How about
okay.
now?
Okay. Now I don't hear.
Okay, great. I was saying that Afro-Cuban jazz was the, the first type of influence of what we call today Latin jazz music. Just like everything else, we're talking about the only thing constant is change, especially in music and creativity. The Afro-Cuban jazz at that time was Mario Bauza, who created a sound that people like Tito Puente loved. Their influence was from the 40s.
I'm still getting feedback.
Kind of a echo?
Yeah, it's like an echo. I can hear everything you say twice.
Okay, well, yes. I think that perhaps we should play some more music of Ralph De Rosario and resolve this this technical issue. We come to you live. Beverly's on her iPhone. I'm on my iPhone. I'm using my speaker on my iPhone, and I hope that we can fix this technical difficulty and get back to some more music.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
We're listening to Salsa, Afro, Cuban, Jazz, and Rock with Eddie Rodriguez. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I hear myself, too.
Are you
hearing feedback? Yeah.
I do not.
You don't hear it on your end, huh?
I do not. I think it's on your end.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, the music that we just heard from was from Ralph Irizarry. Prior to that, we heard Bata Cumbele. But once again, you know, this is the creativity from these Puerto Rican musicians, band leaders, record producers, because they produce their own recordings. You know, the influence of other music on you know, they, to what we're hearing tonight, and the base of that is Cuba, is from Cuba. And like we were talking about, you know, weeks ago, the music is called timba, T-I-M-B-A, timba music. And, you know, today it's called Cuban salsa, but it's not what we're hearing tonight. You know, we're hearing a fusion of, you know, we mentioned earlier that, you know, the only thing constant is change. And the music keeps evolving, you know, to what we have today. We have great salsa artists like Mark Anthony, who you know, are popular in 50 countries around the world, and forget about the U.S. You know, there, you know, so many markets that he fills sports arenas, sold out shows, just him alone. And that salsa was created in the 90s. You know, prior to that, it was, you know, really, you know, a marketed brand called salsa. And that was created in the you know, late 60s and 70s. And prior to that, you know, it was the Latin, you know, Latin music. What was the music? It was called a mambo. The dance form was called the mambo and the cha-cha. And so these groups, the big bands of Latin music of that era, you know, once again attracted the dancers. And so today, we still have the same phenomenon happening, not only with tropical salsa. Latin jazz is music for, is art. And you will see a Latin jazz artist performing in jazz festivals as part of their entire program. So, you know, the jazz groups that we hear, you know, today, you know, are not commercial. You know, we don't hear them on commercial radio either. You'll hear them on jazz radio stations if you're a connoisseur of jazz music, if you're a musician, if you're an artist, and you appreciate art. But all in all, you know, when we talk about Afro-Cuban music and Latin jazz music, you know, we're looking at music that has a space for solos, and you know, these musicians, these great musicians, you know, can, you know, perform their skills. And so that's what makes Latin jazz so interesting. The arrangements that we heard tonight are also interesting. You know, it's not just people beating drums and playing a horn, you know, piano and bass. It's, you know, there's the compositions and the arrangements, and the compositions have a melody. And you can tell by the music that we're hearing tonight that the recordings were done live. Today, the recordings are done quite differently. They do them in parts. So, in other words, they do a piano and bass one day. They'll record that. They'll record the congas another day, and they'll record the horns and the trumpets another day. And, you know, it's just one song, but they do it separately. They, you know, the theory is, you know, this is all happened during the digital age. The theory is that, you know, you get a better quality of sound. However, I think it loses its touch of feeling sometimes, because what we heard tonight was definitely done live. And the live concerts, these groups used to sound just incredible, just like, you know, Tito Puente and Eddie Palmieri, and even a Mark Anthony. You know, he's a great singer, has a great band. But, you know, we have to consider one thing, that, you know, the business of Latin music and the investments necessary to you know, just be able to penetrate, you know, the body and the volume of music that is being recorded every single day all over the world, and now it available like on an Apple Music or Spotify, who have 100 million songs, you know, available to the consumers. So, you know, this kind of music, even on YouTube, it's there. Anyone that wants to hear any of the music we heard tonight, it's available on YouTube. But you'll see that, you know, the amount of views and the amount of people that are on that, that follow these groups, you know, are minimal compared to a Bad Bunny or even a Mark Anthony or a lot of other great Latin singers like Gilberto Santa Rosa or Victor Manuel, and the ones that are constantly touring. So, you know, the business of Latin music was not able to support or embrace this music that we heard, that your listeners hearing tonight. So, but I want to thank you, you know, to once again, you know, for allowing me to be your guest. You know, the dialogue between an African-American woman and from Detroit, Michigan, and a Puerto Rican from Bronx, who's been spent a lifetime and a career in Latin music, has been a real honor for me, and I want to thank you once again. I wanted to know how do you feel about what you heard tonight?
Oh, you know, I love it. And I was looking at the dance, like the salsa and the cha-cha. Now, they're kind of similar, but it seems like the salsa is more of a moving of the hips.
Dance forms, you know, when we look at salsa, we're looking at a, you know, just a brand. But, you know, all of it is an evolution, you know. And constant has changed. So, you know, from Latin music, when I was growing up, we just used to call it Latin music. You know, we used to go to dance at the Latin shows. There was an era that was called the Boogaloo era, you know. So, you know, there was different evolutions of Latin music. And the Boogaloo era, most of the vocals were in English. But once again, you know, the evolution of Latin music, the Fania All-Stars, you know, there's salsa bands all over the world. But today, you know, when we look at salsa music, I can tell you that it's for the, you know, 55, 65 and over crowd. It is not for young people. And the music we're listening to tonight, you know, the only young people that I think might, I could be wrong, but I think that an adult, you know, who appreciates art could feel the music, could say, oh, wow, you know, this sounds interesting, or I like this, or, you know, they may not like it, whatever opinion they have. But, you know, the newest type of form of dancing is not the classic salsa, especially in Europe. So, and they've been influenced more by the Cuban sound of the timba music that has became famous in the 80s and the 90s and 2000s. And today it's called Cuban salsa. And it's a combination of that classic salsa and some very great dance moves that, you know, are for young people, because, you know, they're it's not that they're difficult. But if you feel them and you're a dancer and you love to dance, the moves are very much more interesting and not flat, and they're made for people that are a little bit more in shape athletically.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Have the stamina because the music, you know, drives them. And but, you know, when we were young, we were dancing, you know, to just the classic salsa music. We would dance for hours and sweat up a storm. So there wasn't air conditioning like there was today in some of these places. But once again, you know, I want to thank you. You know, these shows are done as a public service, and I want to thank you for allowing me to share some of this music with you and your audience. And I hope to be back with you next week and talk about one of the greatest pianists in salsa music that you can imagine. A gentleman by the name of Eddie Palmieri. We had him on a few, you know, some months back, but you know, he's going to turn 87 this year, and so I want to do, you know, a few weeks, a series on the music of 12-time Grammy winner, someone that influenced many other pianists in Latin music who fought for a Latin music category in the Grammys back in the 70s, that was able to award a group like Iraquere a Grammy. So, you know, kudos to him. His health is kind of like, you know, not like it was in the past. So he canceled a few shows that I just heard about, but we wish him a speedy recovery. And next week we will doing something to lift up the spirits, the music of the great pianist, composer, arranger, band leader, Eddie Palmieri.
All right. Looking forward to it. And thank you, Eddie, for educating us and bringing us this great music. Look forward to next week. Better love.
Better love to you. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you.